Triple M's Dead Set Legends with you every day of Grand Final Week, 9 till 12. Joey, Jay, Rosie and Emma. But glad to say that Triple M and Fox Footy superstar and one of Joey's best mates, Nick Raywalt, has waltzed into the studio. I'll be a little bit early, Rui, because you heard a couple of conversations and you just had to have your piece, which I'll...
Hello, mate.
Morning,
Rui. Morning. Well, Ross Lyon, if you're not 5 minutes early, you're 5 minutes late.
That's true.
So punctuality, you know, manners are free.
Yep.
Nice.
Rubbed
so
off
we're talking
you.
Before about going to the movies back in 2004, Joey, and you couldn't for the life of you remember what the film was that you went with your...
I just know we started the year 10 and zip. We were flying and then for whatever reason, Grant Thomas gave us the day off training. We went and watched a movie, and I thought the movie was that bad that we ended up losing 4 of our next 5 games. But I could not remember it. I knew Rui would remember it. Do you remember doing that?
Yeah. Yeah, the day after tomorrow. Don't like. Here's the first lesson: is don't go to Joey on anything to do with pop culture because he's hopeless. Anything to do with sport, he's an encyclopedia. Yep. Music, movies, like trying to do quotes from movies and stuff, he just gets a blank expression on his face. So leave the pop culture stuff to other people. But I remember, we went along to the movie. Some of Jake Gyllenhaal's finest work.
Oh, beautiful man.
I've got the trailer just to get some of the mood of the film. A lot of ice.
Yeah.
Hollywood sign.
A loss to explain what is causing this weather and why it just takes them by surprise.
There's a lot of ice.
Kind of apocalyptic, climate changey before climate change, like when it was just becoming a thing and they did a movie about it. And so Dennis Quaid, gets on the backpack and he schleps from Washington down to New York to try and rescue his son, and he gets there and they escape down to the warmth of Mexico. It was sort of a reverse border sort of scenario.
Oh, right. So I'm sure Wall wasn't there at that stage.
Yeah, that's right. It was warm, so they went south for the winter.
I'm struggling to see the football link. Like, were you feeling quite inspired or scared?
There was no link, mate. No link at all. Like, Grant Thomas was very good at finding sort of tenuous links with anything. There was no link here. It was just a day off.
Hence why we lost 4 of our next 5 games.
And what were you thinking watching this movie? Like, if there was sort of an Armageddon situation, what would you be doing?
I like those sort of movies because I always like to put myself in that situation. Like, what would I do? How would I survive? zombie type movies. Who would I want?
Who would you eat first?
Who would I want beside me?
Who's got the most flesh on the bone?
Joey.
All I remember was Rui was sitting down the front row with the coach. He was the sucks. Oh, this is a great movie, Grant. Fraser Gehrig and all the boys in the back were all trying to sneak out as early as they
did
could.
Did you have a choc top?
Yeah, we would have for sure.
Good.
Yeah.
So who would you take?
Who would I take? I'd take Bakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd take Bakes. Yeah. If the end of the world was coming, I would... I would zip down to Colac, assuming I could get through the Ring of Steel. I would zip down to Colac, grab Bakes. I'd go to Tassie. I'd try to get down to Tassie. It's got a moat. They've been prepared to use it over this COVID period. And I'd just get him to build stuff. And when the proverbial hit the fan, I'd back him in to protect me because he's that sort of guy.
Yep. And does the same apply for a footy trip? Because I remember, Joe, you were talking about sort of your 5 favourite teammates to take on a footy trip. And I know you had the skipper. You had
me in the list.
I had you in the top 5. Why? You were underrated on footy trips.
Yeah, why?
Because you used to pay for everything and you used to organise them all because no one else could be bothered organising anything.
That is true. We actually ran a social experiment one time where we'd organise all the flights and we had a connection. And I said to Joey, okay, let's just walk off this flight here and then we've got to get on another one to go to our next destination. Let's just walk off the plane and stand there and see what happens. And I reckon we stood there for half an hour and the boys were just so used to like, okay, now we've got to go to gate 3A and get on the... We stood there for half an hour until someone finally said, so what are we doing?
Sheep.
You played with a bunch of absolute mick-mocks, you two.
What is the story? Can I ask him, what was the story with Michael Ricks? Because I remember you telling
we'll get it after 10 o'clock. We've got to go to the news and find out what's happening with
Jay-Z.
Around
the
world.
You
told it on air.
It's going to be on air. Mates, Dead Set Legends, everything is for on air. Now, Joey, you got one of your best mates in the studio and you asked him to do something on the weekend. I'm hesitant to ask, but go on.
We are speaking, of course, of grand finals and grand final week. And I got home from Dead Set Legends on Saturday. And just after lunch, they're playing the great grand finals all on Fox Footy all week. And it was the 2009 St Kilda v Geelong grand final that happened to be on. Jay-Z. the toe poke, the famous toe poke. And I've seen the game. I've watched it a number of times now. I sort of am able to do that and enjoy the game, even though, you know, the result doesn't change every time I watch it. But I decided...
So do you have an emotional reaction to it?
Yeah, I still do. Yeah, absolutely. But I sort of... I'm a bit of a sicko. I enjoy a little bit of like putting myself through it. I just love watching the footy. But I knew that Rui had never, ever seen the grand finals. So I rang him and said, mate, do yourself a favour. It's now been, what are we, 12 years.
Yep.
Sit down and watch the last quarter of the 2009 grand final. So I rang you. Yeah. You told me at the time you weren't quite sure whether you were going to do it.
What would I want to do that for? Get stuff. That sounds like a great way to ruin my weekend. And then, so I thought, there's no way I'm doing that. Like, no chance at all. I think there must have been like a quarter and a half to go. And then curiosity got the better of me. Yep. It just did. It was just gnawing away at me, back of my mind. And I thought, okay, you know what? I'm going to go in. So I flicked it on and there was about 15 minutes to go. And I hadn't seen it. Like, I've seen snippets and the toe poke but other than that, I've not watched the game. We did watch the game in the preseason. I think we watched the last quarter when we got back at the start of 2010, but I mean, it was all a bit of a blur. So to sit there and watch it, I was gobsmacked by how brutal a game of footy it was. And so I probably felt a little bit differently to how I thought I was going to feel. Average game in that grand final. I mean, looking at the conditions were unbelievable. But in my mind, I'd build up the fact that I was terrible.
Yeah, and when you look at the stat sheet might not look as big as it usually would for Rui, but when you actually saw that game, how wet it was and how every possession was contested, it was almost impossible for a key forward to have any impact in a game like that.
That's what stood out to me, was just how every possession that was won in that game was contested. There was no free footy anywhere. And so bodies were flying, players were launching, and you focus on sort of your own involvements. And I thought, oh my gosh, like, this is unbelievable. Some of the contests, you know, that you're involved in. There was one at the top of the square that I couldn't remember, where I was ready to mark the footy, and then Matthew Scarlett just comes flying across the screen, gets a fist in, and it was absolutely brutal. And it did, I think, fill me with a sense of pride rather than the opposite post the game. So I got a bit emotional actually after watching it. And we've got a group chat with all the Saints boys through that era. So I flicked out a text and said, you know, I just worked up the courage to finally watch it. Love you guys.
And you know what? Yeah. We are missing each other, because usually we do catch up prelim week. Yep. It's become a bit of a tradition for us all, because say, despite not winning that premiership medallion, we feel we've got a bond and a connection, you know, like a premiership team will be tight forever. So we haven't been able to catch up for a couple of years. So then Rui threw his nice little emotional, sentimental message out to all the boys and got all the love and all the replies.
And what was the feedback like?
From the text?
Yeah.
Yeah, like there was some sarcastic ones. There was some emotion. It was like, you know, gee, the Saints were pretty good back in the day. And gee, we were good. Like, what a brutal game. A lot of sort of love hearts and that sort of stuff. So it was really good. But yeah, I mean, it highlighted the fact that when you get to grand final week, and I reckon this game is going to be played in a similar vein, all the tiny little moments that I was looking at thinking, if only there was, you know, you spoke about a mark that Gary Ablett took in the middle of two, like you and Clint Jones. Yeah. It's like, if only I had have just protected the ball when Scarlett was coming in that marking contest a bit better. But That's you know, you win and lose in those little moments.
You talk to a lot of greats of the game. They say, what's your advice to a Kasiah Pickett or Adam Treloar or whatever? And they say, well, just enjoy. Just enjoy the game. Enjoy yourself. Did you enjoy either of those grand finals?
Jesus.
What a question, Jay.
What a question, Rui.
They've just handed out the media awards, haven't they?
Yeah. They're done and dusted. Don't worry.
You should use that in your clip.
Did you feel anxious?
I never enjoyed game day, Jay. Like, it was always like, and I wish I could have, but for me, I always got so worked up. Like, I was a really anxious pre-game person to the point where I drove the boys mad.
In the end, we just avoided you.
Yeah. But that was sort of how I needed to be. I tried the other approach at times and just felt like my head wasn't in the game properly. So I needed to be that way. Yeah. And, you know, I was still able to go out and, once the ball was bounced, you're still able to go out and perform and do what you need to do.
Imagine how he would have gone with 2 weeks leading up to a grand final. That would have been torturous for you, really. You couldn't handle 1 week.
Might have been, but I was actually thinking about this. Like, I think what some of the torture lies in the fact that there's no routine in grand final week. Like, everything gets thrown out the window.
Yeah.
And you've got to do the parade. You've got to do the media conference. You've got to, you know, you've got to do all these different things. I was a creature of habit. I loved routine. So when that disappeared, it was more challenging. But this week, they put the prelims to bed. And then you've got 2 weeks to sort of just go about preparing. That was all it was for me, is wanting to feel as best prepared as I could.
You were just talking before, Rui, about how anxious you used to get pre-game, and Joey, you've piped up with a little tidbit, of course.
Oh, no, Rui can tell it because
I'm not self-incriminating.
No, well, he used to get that anxious. That Rui was one that used to go into the toilets just before we'd run out and vomit. It was a regular thing. No. It was a regular thing for Rui, just the anxiety getting the better of him. And because he was the skipper, and the final thing you do before you run out, you get in a really tight huddle, and Rui gives his final pre-game address, which was always very good.
Thank you.
But he did have an issue, and I was generally one at the front because I was sort of little and I had to get to the front. His breath would actually, you know, be a bit stinky because he'd have the spew. So we had to give him the feedback and say, "Roo, man, if you're going to do these speeches after you've had a vomit, can you at least get some mouthwash and a bit of Mentos in there?" So for the rest of his career in his locker, true to his word, he'd have his cologne.
Listerine?
He was a cologne man. Yeah, he'd have his Mentos and his mouthwash. You'd have it all lined up. Yeah,
my locker was always immaculate.
You had moisturiser in your locker too.
Yeah, so towel sort of folded down at the base, and then oh, thanks, Sam. And then shoes on top, and then, you know, get the mouth guard out and pop that on the case, and cologne, deodorant, mouthwash, toothbrush as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Had the toothbrush and would give the teeth a brush, and then a packet of Tic Tacs. So I'd just pop in my socks, and out we go.
So what about Joey's locker, though? I want to know what that looked like. What was yours?
I was always pretty neat, too. I was very neat and tidy. The one that wasn't, we won't get into Stevie Baker again, but number 10 next to me, he was the type of guy that would hang the jocks inside out, hang them up on the locker, and wear them again the next day.
He'd get two uses out of one pair. Sometimes three. Sometimes he'd go the double rotation. Stevie Baker, we walked in one day, Stevie Baker. This story might be out there. I'm not sure if...
Do it, mate. Do it. You've got permission.
We're doing it. No, it's...
No one's listening.
We're not on. It's all right.
So we walked in one day. Blake's had his stops. Remember this?
And he sharpened them.
And he was filing his stops.
Don't tell those stories.
No? Okay.
That was before a grand final, was it? Yeah. That's a grand final story.
I think Stevie Johnson actually told
us. Win it all costs.
Yeah, he might have stood on Stevie Johnson's foot a couple of times.
Oh, so with the cologne, did you give a little squirt before you went out? No, was that after?
That was a post-game.
Yeah.
Go out and have a couple of beers afterwards. It needs to smell good.
Yeah, I was a real party animal. I was. Post-game.
Hey, just a couple of quick little stories. We like to get some sort of untold stories from grand final week. And injury is a big thing. Yep. A lot of players that we don't really know about at the time have to play through significant injury to try and get up. Because it is a grand final, you put it all on the line. Just a quick one example. 2009, Robert Eddy, who was a great teammate of ours, he got dropped for the grand final. Sean Dempster came back into the side. But on grand final morning, he was having breakfast with his mum and dad, thinking it was an emergency. His mum and dad were down. They were going to the game. And Eddie's at breakfast. He got a call from Greg Hutchison, our football manager, saying, "Rob, you're playing. Zach Dawson has woken up with food poisoning. Zach Dawson, it looks like he can't play. You're in." So Rob Eddy, all of a sudden, can you imagine grand final morning getting told you're playing? He was that excited. He told his parents. He got ready. He got to the ground. And they gave Zach Dawson every opportunity. I think he went and got on the drip for a little bit in the morning, did a fitness test, and he passed. So he ended up playing, but he was really crook, Zach Dawson. That was 2009. He played a great game that day as well. But then poor Rob Eddy, he told his parents and his family he was playing. They're in the grandstands. They're waiting for their boy to run out. And went, hang on a minute.
He's sitting in the tracksuit.
Where's Rob? And he was in the tracksuit. So there's always these little stories that happen. But you've got one yourself that happened in the 2009 grand final.
Nine. It was, yeah. So Thursday session down at Moorabbin, and never seen anything like it. So the crowd...
Packed house
at
Moorabbin. Told the story when we did two warm-up laps because we love
two more. So we finished the first warm-up lap and I said, "Righto, another lap, boys. Let's do one more lap." Anyway, so I was not a big sort of trainer during the week, just managing sort of my knee and some other issues. So I would usually do strides or, you know, so of course you're running strides along the boundary line. Well, it's like you're in the 400 final at the Olympics. The crowd sort of rise with you as you're running around. And seriously got a little bit carried away to the point where I actually had a bit of a nick in my hip flexor, so a little strain in my hip flexor. So it was quite inhibiting. I couldn't really take off, had no power, no acceleration, and panic sets in, absolutely panicking. I'm thinking, what have I done? This is, are you serious? Yeah. Like, I've waited my whole life for this moment. So we went to Box Hill Hospital because we had to go somewhere off Broadway to try and see if we could inject the spot and numb the pain to allow me to be able to take off and play, which we did. But in terms of preparation, you know, 10 p.m. on a Thursday night before the granny, doing strides up and down the corridor at Box Hill Hospital.
Wow.
Not ideal.
So you went
out
to Box Hill to think Box you would get recognised.
Well, because if you go to Olympic Park or you go to Vimy,
Jay-Z and all his crew would have been
Jay-Z and Tom Brown. You know,
all the dirty media people are sitting out
now
the front.
You're which one?
Exactly. I've turned to the dark side, Em. But they're the things that you look back on and they add layers, I guess, to the story. Yeah. But
I don't think that got out, did it?
Like, imagine that
as a story on the Friday or the day of the grand final. Yep. Nick Riewoldt, superstar captain, late in the fitness test. That would have been a huge out.
That's which why we went to Box Hill, off Broadway.
That is an absolute ripper. Hey, Nick, thanks for jumping in.
Yep.
We appreciate your time and we look forward to hearing you across Triple M next year when all the footy takes off as well and across Fox Footy as well.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
Have a great holiday.
Have a great week. Yeah, we'll do.
Hey, coming up after. Oh, we're meant to ask you who's going to win. Quickly.
What song was that? That was
Roxanne.
Roxanne. Yeah, good. Yeah.
sorry, that was my fault.
D's for me. Just their system. I think they've got more protection and layers to their game than the Dogs. I mean, you look at talent v talent; it's an even contest. Just think the D's system's just a little bit stronger.
Well, who's going to win? Norm Smith.
I'll go with Petrarca. I think he gets off the chain a little bit, and if he kicks straight, like he's had so many shots at goal this year, he kicks straight, he wins it.